1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got an all-star lineup today. We got Drew. We got Jamie for her sophomore appearance on Honest to God. We got Hannah. She's here all the time. And then we got Xander. Never before seen Xander rocking the turtleneck and leather jacket.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
It's a good look, man. It's a really good look.
I think it adds at least 5 to 10 IQ points, which makes me a better conversationalist.
I'm feeling it with the voice. I actually, I debated for a while getting my PhD, and instead, just when I'm in certain circles, I speak in a British accent, and I'm not accusing you of such, but I swear it does the same thing for IQ points. It's like, oh, that guy must be smart. Listen how he talks. Yeah, so maybe I should slap a turtleneck on, too. I'm going to consider that. As always, we've got producer Julian.
Yes, I am here.
Tickling keys.
I'm actually not pushing buttons.
Are you moving?
I've got somebody else.
You're cutting without touching it.
We are training today because we are growing so fast that we need more people here at Honest to God. So in light of us growing, if you could smash that like button down below. Leave us a comment. If you are driving, please do not use the phone while driving. Pull over immediately and hit that like and share button and send this to all of your friends and family because they need to be on board of this Honest to God train so that they can make sure to make it to heaven.
We are growing. We are the only way to get there. We are growing rapidly. Not a lot of people know this, but we actually turned down the Super Bowl. We were going to do the halftime show. Kendrick Lamar was second. We were first, and then we had a thing. We had a thing that came up, and Jeff Goldblum related scenario. Mm-hmm. And so maybe next year we'll see.
Yeah, maybe next year. Holy Spirit definitely comes first, and that's why we had to cancel. Yep. Yeah.
We are considering.
Thank Apple for understanding, yes. You know, who was sponsoring us and it offered us $350 million, but we had another engagement that we had to get to.
Yep. We're considering starting a big hip hop beef with somebody, too, to try to get us, you know, grow the brand a little bit. As always, show notes, Benny may or may not be in the room, and it's going to be a great episode. So we got some new people. We got one new person. You're going to owe us 3 fun facts here in a little bit, Xander. Mm-hmm. And then you guys just owe us 1 apiece. You're all vets. You know what you're doing. But first, we're going to start by praying. Anybody want to open us in prayer? Xander, open? Gosh.
All right. I'll do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you allow us to speak the truth tonight. To have fun. To laugh, to say all manner of things, normal, sincere, funny, outrageous, but through each and every one of our words, extol your glory. I ask this in your holy name, and I ask for the intercession of your most holy and immaculate mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Masterclass in pregnant pauses. That was very good.
Right?
That was very good. Very good.
That is called me scrambling for words.
Yeah, I'm 93.5. 93.5. If I did grade, which I don't, but it was very good prayer. Thank you so much, Xander, for doing that for us.
Of course.
So let's do this. Let's knock this out real fast. Our show today is. I don't think we talked about what we're talking about. I'm excited and kind of nervous. I feel like this would have been way cooler if we did this 4.5 years ago. But you know, whatever.
I believe it's about pre and post COVID.
Yeah, I've got thoughts. Right here. What we learned from COVID. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot of stuff. We're going to get into all of it, hopefully. But before we do that, we're going to get into some fun facts. Fun COVID-related facts. Yours don't have to be COVID-related, Xander, because you got to come up with 3. You're new. We know about all you people, so your facts have to be COVID-related facts.
So I was failing my physics class in senior year for the spring semester, and I was really losing motivation. And I'm like, okay, it's just over. I'm not graduating high school. We had to go to run everyone. And then COVID hits, and they wave the failing classes because they said it was online learning. It was not online learning. It was just me being a bum. But I passed my class because of that, and I graduated high school. So that was
that's a great COVID fun fact.
God's intercession.
What
right
were you?
There.
What were you failing? What was the class?
It's physics.
Oh yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah, come on, just, who even uses physics?
Honestly, would love to learn the stuff properly, but I mean, it's
I mean, the physical reality of the world. You're does that relevant. Really play at all into our daily lives?
Sometimes
I wasn't a science guy.
No,
but I'm glad we have those people. It just wasn't me.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's neat.
What about you, Jenny? You got a COVID-related fact?
Yeah, so. The first month of COVID, back when everyone was freaking out, nobody knew what was going on, I had to quarantine with my grandmother for, like, the first month because she, so my dad's mom, lives with my parents mm-hmm. in, like, the basement area. And since I have an autoimmune disorder, we were both high risk.
Right.
So they quarantined us together. I stayed
just
in the
basement.
Just
you and grandma?
Yep, just in the basement for a month. We baked sweets every day. I also, I think the only reason I passed my calculus class, because I was a senior in high school, was because of COVID.
Right. Man, a lot of classes, a lot of academic assistance mm-hmm. from COVID. That sounds like the most beautifully wholesome
yeah,
COVID experience
yeah,
ever, baking with grandma.
I look back on it fondly, even though it was bored out of my mind.
That's great. Okay, I like that. See, the COVID fact idea is working. This is good. What
I'm
about you, Hannah?
Mine's kind of on the same vein. I was a missionary over in Ireland with Net Ministries during the time that COVID hit. So I was on the road team. Our road team kind of disbanded, but because of COVID, I got to go live with a guy, a different missionary named Barnabas, who's an amazing person all around. He's studying to be, in seminary right now to be a priest. Nice. Pray for Barnabas.
Father Barnabas has
Father
a good
Barnabas,
ring to
oh, it really does. But he is an amazing music teacher. He's just very patient, and because of him, I learned how to play piano. So because of COVID, I got to go over there, and because of that, I got to learn how to play piano. So because of COVID, I know how to play the piano.
That's really good. That's awesome. All right, neat. What you guys? You have three. Let's say just one COVID fact, or none. You don't have to do
okay.
any.
If one comes to me, then I'll okay. say it. I'm from the UK originally, though I've lived here in the United States for about 20 years mm-hmm. now. I'm a musician in my background. I play the saxophone, and I've composed music for independent movies before. And when I was a little kid, some little kids have imaginary friends. I had an imaginary biker gang, of
Heck
which
yes.
I was the ringleader.
Obviously.
There
right?
you go.
I don't know what it would say about your sort of mental state if you were not the ringleader in your imaginary biker gang. Like, if you were the guy who just like, is like trying to get in and they wouldn't let you in your imaginary biker gang. So I'm glad that you were in charge.
Yeah, like the third tier biker. You
right,
know,
exactly.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten your tattoos yet. Like,
he has
you're not
the
allowed
leather
to wear
jacket.
Patches. I know, he's right.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the biker
yeah.
gang thing?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that
so psychoanalysts could chew on that a little bit.
I dig it. All right, that's good. Thanks, Anna. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Producer Julian, you said you had a COVID fact?
I got a COVID fact, yeah. I loved COVID.
It was great for me, too.
And shock factor. So, and I have to all the those who are listening, but if you want to know exactly why I love COVID, go and check out my entire conversion story, which really
right.
happened during COVID. But one of the things that I particularly love about COVID, which I don't think I brought up in my conversion story, was that it showed me where the best parishes to go to were, because they did not close, or they at least figured out ways to have Mass and didn't just stop Mass entirely. So it showed me where to go to worship.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I actually, and once again, I'm not trying to minimize the tragedy that some families absolutely experience, right? And some people absolutely dealt with some terrible things. Death of loved ones and all of that. It was one of the best few months of my life. I got paid and had a month or what? I got off March 1st or something and didn't go back to work until end of August. And I got paid and I hung out with my kids and my wife and we went turkey hunting all spring and we cleared a bunch of land and just had this beautiful staycation. So just to go ahead and throw that out before we get into all the what we learned kind of stuff, wasn't bad for the Spann household.
Likewise yeah. for us too, yeah.
So I've got a few points to actually sort of go through, right? But I don't want to hyperstructure this at first. I just want to open up big picture, kind of like you did in your fun fact there, Producer Julian. What did you learn from COVID? What were some big lessons that you took away? It didn't even have to be about COVID. You don't have to get all cynical like I'm going to and talk about the government, I mean, being disappointed with the way that the USCCB handled it and all these things. It can be about yourself. It can be about your family. I'm sure you learn a lot living in a confined space with your grandmother for months on end. Like, what were some of y'all's big takeaways from COVID?
I can go. So on my, this is a downer note. I've had COVID several times, but this, for whatever reason, the second time I got it, I got long COVID. Mm-hmm. Right, to this day. So that was 2021. It's 2025 right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 years. I've had it for 4 years. I struggle with migraines since, but it was bad enough where I was like bedridden.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like I had to have people bring me food. Like mm-hmm. I had to learn how to drive a manual car over in Ireland so that I could get around, because everywhere you'd walk everywhere. So all that to say, like, long, big picture, like, it's actually been really beautiful for my family. Like, when I went home, we would do, like, our normal vacation stuff, which is kind of go, 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 but I couldn't anymore.
Right.
So we actually, like, sat and talked. Yeah. And, like, played board games and, like, face-to-face. So we just, as a family, like, kind of gathered around me and my lowliness, you know.
Right.
And, kind of came together around that. And there's been other lessons, mostly, like, you don't have to be busy all the time. It's mm-hmm. actually good to take a break, pause.
Right.
It's
interesting how some people had these big sort of coming together family experiences, and some people got horrible isolation, all these sort of these things that came out of the isolation that was involved. And my experience, like I said earlier, was so positive that a lot of times I forget about those people who really, right, be it from illness or just because of regulation or fear or whatever it was, mm-hmm. really struggled psychologically with all of a sudden being cut off from the entire world for months and months on end, terminally online, and all of these awful things. What else? Big picture takeaways from any of you guys?
Well, I think it proved that our civic institutions are only ever as ethical, morally upstanding, and just as the people who are occupying them.
1,000%. Yes.
I'll add to that. What I actually thought it was at the time, and I'll still stand by this today, is that it was at least the apocalypse of modern day. The apocalypse meaning to unveil. And because it seems like so much of the truth is being unveiled even today still, but it really just started then. And it really feels like we're dealing with a mass unveiling of what's going on globally.
I totally agree. I think in particular, I mean, and I can talk about that from a government standpoint. I can talk about it from a lot of different ones, but from sort of from the church, I got a lot of wounds from COVID, actually, from being told, no, you know what? That's not actually essential. It's not that important that you go to Mass. You should just watch Father Mike Schmidt do Mass on YouTube. And it really bugged me. And I'm kind of not proud to say that I went along with it for a few weeks of just like, okay, this is, I guess, what we're doing before my wife and I were sort of like, this is not okay, right? Right? Like, are we the only people in the world? Are we crazy and everybody else is? And eventually we realized, oh, no, we're not crazy. This is ridiculous. But, I mean, I've used the word multiple times on the show, the word scandalous, to describe how the church reacted to COVID.
Yeah, I remember during COVID watching Easter Mass mm-hmm. on the TV screen with my family. And, like, that was so jarring to me. It's like ingrained in my brain. I remember everyone was like, I was the only one that dressed up, because I was like, well, at least I'm gonna, you know, still wear a dress.
Yeah, oh, good for you. I like that.
Everyone else was like in pajamas with their Easter candy baskets on Easter day, and we're watching Mass on the television, just kind of sitting around. And I was like, I just remember thinking, like, this is so bizarre.
Did you still follow the Catholic aerobics?
Yeah, yeah,
me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Follow the what?
The Catholic aerobics.
Like, sit stand,
you know,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we enforced that in our living room in front of the laptop screen on the coffee table. I struggle when we get into some of this stuff and when we're talking about this, because there were a lot of really, really good priests who I think mm-hmm. were coming from a place of going to be obedient, mm-hmm. right? I'm called to obedience. I've taken mm-hmm. a vow of obedience to my bishop. But overall, I think the churches are still reeling from that. I think numbers have still not gotten back up to the pre-COVID levels, because we as a church said, you know what, if it's like super duper scary, you don't have to go to church anymore. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me. I don't know. Any thoughts?
That's a great point. I mean, it's the most important thing in your life. And in the church, the people who are supposed to be not enforcing that, but setting the greatest example mm-hmm. seem to say that it's actually not important at all, you know? It kind of sends not mixed messages, but just the wrong message.
Right. I went to the liquor store a whole lot during COVID.
Really?
I didn't go to Mass. That bothers me, the fact that I could go to the liquor store.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Rachel and I actually went to Cherokee, the casino, because it was open. And,
Indian casino?
Yeah, Indian casino. Yeah. And it was open, and they were inviting people in for business, but, Mass was closed. And I'll offer a slight defense of the USCCB.
Yeah, please do.
You know, the church does recognize that we are not experts of science. And so they had to rely on, the experts. And I do think a lot of churches were intentionally delayed in opening once they started realizing the truth of the matter. But in the very, very beginning, I think we can definitely offer some grace and mercy towards the church that we really just didn't know what it was.
That's probably the more mature way to approach it than I do. Yeah.
Well. Yeah, but then all of that nonsense should have stopped the second that we figured out it was just a rather nasty variant of the flu or something like that. And instead we had, it's always the tightrope walk of discussing this kind of thing with the church, because you, like you said, you want to be obedient.
Sure.
But at the same time, you have to recognize that in the church hierarchy, as with any social hierarchy, there are going to be bad apples because clergymen are not in some way exempt from original sin, and they are very much can be tempted by all the same things that we are tempted. And so it's difficult to kind of navigate that. You have to think about it and pray about it so that you can disagree potentially with a decision without at the same time throwing the baby out with the bathwater and taking some outright schismatic position, or which I think a lot of people unfortunately did during COVID. It was something that, now also to kind of briefly summarize my own frame of reference, I wasn't a practicing Catholic during COVID.
Interesting.
But it was what made me become a practicing Catholic. So it was an interesting time for me personally. It was a necessary period of, it was very difficult for me. And it was a necessary period of spiritual purgation, and it was very eye-opening to me, and it made me realize that I needed moral and metaphysical truth in my life, when before I sort of had been happily skipping arrogantly along through the mechanistic age that we live in.
Sure.
And I'd ranged from not thinking about religion at all to being openly scornful of it. That was the spectrum of my attitude towards it, and then COVID made me reconsider that position.
I will say I would take the active scorn for it over the total apathy any day of the week. If you told me my son was going to grow up or my children were going to grow up and actively hate what is good or not really care, I would actually take the hate, right? I would take the passion for a thing, right? Jesus Christ, be hot or cold, the lukewarm I will spew from my mouth. That's my fear. And that, I think, the apathy societally was so compounded by COVID too. I saw a lot of people either do what you did and sort of say, no, there's got to be some truth. I got to burn. I want something. I got all this in me and I want it and I'm dying right for something. I don't even know what it is. And some people took that in some really bad directions, but a lot of people took it and went in a really good direction. But then you have another category that seems to just sort of throw up their hands and say, well, I'm just going to sort of live this boring, empty life of pleasure and emptiness, right?
Yeah.
It just became so much more accessible and acceptable for that period of time to be this isolated, autonomous being who just sort of took care of yourself and stared at a screen all day.
And you can't even really call it a hedonistic lifestyle because hedonism is a choice.
Right.
Apathy is, it's just you're like a rudderless ship in the doldrums.
Oh, it's almost like if only it were hedonistic, there's something to work with. Whoa.
Yes, exactly.
That's not a comfortable sentence for me to say. All right. Anna, you're making some faces over there. What are your thoughts?
I think, COVID was very polarizing, but it was also very eye-opening for a lot of people. I think, like we've said, it's been, like, as a Catholic church, as the entire body around the world, it was like we were purged almost. It was like, no, like, the true Catholics came out of the woodworks and were like, I want Mass.
Right.
And the ones that were just going because their grandma's family, just cultural, they were kind of like, it doesn't really affect me. I won't go anymore.
Right.
And that's not good that they're not going, but it's good that they've, like, kind of made that choice and like, wait, who are these people who are dying to go to Mass?
Right.
Like, who want to, who are fighting for it? So I think that juxtaposition has been really good.
It was great PR for the schismatics. It really was. I mean, the schismatic churches filled up, and I'm not in any way putting them in the same category. The Eastern Rite Catholic churches too saw this giant boon because they were saying, we're not going to do all that weird stuff that the Latin Rite churches are doing. I think like the Byzantines and the Maronites and the Melkites, God bless them, right? I think they really did really bolster a lot of these numbers, which is good. I'm a secretly, not so secretly, I'm a huge fan of the Eastern Rite Catholics. But what it did to a lot of Catholics who ended up saying, hey, you guys have got your doors closed, But Pius X over here, or whoever, their doors are wide open. Mm-hmm. They filled up. I think those churches are still doing really well, and those people aren't coming back because they're looking at the church and saying, you guys were scared of getting sick, and so you shut everything down, whereas we cared more about Jesus Christ. And there's some spiritual pride in that, which I struggle with. I struggle with spiritual pride in a big way. I've actively been trying not to say it was a sheep and goats moment, but here it is. I just said it. But that's how it felt to me in a lot of ways, which I'm trying not to say because I don't want to say, like, I'm good, and they were bad, right? There's so many layers to that. But it did, and everything from my workplace to my family to friend circles, it became this like, oh, okay, you and me are on the team.
Yeah.
We want the same thing. You don't really want the same thing. Yeah, yikes.
That was something I noticed too, within like my mom and even like her Facebook group friends. I remember her talking to me about it, how like divisive it was. Like, you saw really kind of everyone's true colors and true opinions on everything. And I think both sides, there was a lack of charity in understanding the other's perspective, because you had the maybe a little bit of spiritual pride where people are like, well, we want Jesus and you clearly don't, so we're better than you, and this is the way to be Catholic, and you know, no other way is the correct way. And then you had the people who, and I, yes, there were some people who were extremely apathetic and you know, just not caring, but I think there were some others that just maybe natural rule followers, and it wasn't that they didn't want Jesus, it was their opinion was more, you know, like, give to Caesar what is owed to Caesar. So they're like, you know, we're told to do this, you know, we have to be obedient to our government or obedient to the rules, and you know, it's better to do this as opposed to, like, you know, raise a rebellion almost.
It took the already existing political, whatever, cultural vitriol, right, from that was all happening there towards the end of, or during the Trump-Biden, right, election, and cranked it up to 10,000. I mean, it was crazy how, and I'm not saying I'm better than this, I'm grouped myself in with this, how that us versus them mentality went through the roof to the point that it caused really lasting damage in my own family that I think is going to be there forever. Yeah, we had a bunch of issues with vaccine, not being invited to invited to Christmases and stuff like that, and having to. It was really awful.
I'm the only one in my family who's not vaccinated, and I got a lot of hate for it. Like, I had my parents like sending me. I don't know if they're gonna watch this.
You don't have to say anything. You're not comfortable. Yeah.
But I had family members that like would actively argue with me on it for like a whole year, and finally they just gave up because they realized I wasn't gonna cave.
I got crying phone calls from family members that were, if not you, just the children, and all of these things. It was really heartbreaking. It was a really tough time. And I do want to get into all the vaccine stuff. I'm super comfortable going into that. If you think we can do that, producer Julian.
Yeah, I consulted with somebody who's married to a physician literally right before this, and offered some insight that I'm happy to talk about. I think we'll be all right.
Well, good. We've got about 4 minutes till break. Maybe we start next episode, jumping right into all things.
You mean the next COVID, half. So next make half. Sure that you are sticking around and subscribe down below so that in case you get disconnected from this or somehow.
Oh, God forbid.
Right. But if you're on YouTube and your phone dies or whatever, make sure that you subscribe down below so that you can still hear it when it comes up here very soon.
So in the last 4 minutes, I want to talk about this really briefly. Can I say out loud now, and I don't mean like, is it okay for me? Can I politically? No, that's not what I mean, but I mean like, is it correct and appropriate for me to say out loud that all of the early on restrictions from the 6 feet rule to the masks to all that was like, isn't that kind of publicly known as nonsense now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I like the Switzerland approach.
I actually just don't know, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, Anthony Fauci came out and admitted that he was just making it up as he went along. He just said that, something to the effect of that.
I heard an interview, or at least the snippets of an interview, about the mask and the 6 foot thing in particular. But once again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But what are you going to say,
Hannah? So I have family that are in the medical field. Yeah. And so when the whole mask thing came out, first of all, they were all frustrated. They're like, what, you guys can't do 20 minutes? I do like 8 hours in a mask, you know? Mm-hmm. And now we all know what that's like. But in surgery, they would always say, what, do you not want them to wear a surgical mask?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it does do something. I don't know if you're wearing it for, like, it's getting saturated after so many hours or whatever. Sure. But, like, it does do something.
But and the thing that I always heard back is it's the N95. It's the fancy schmancy mask that they wear in surgery, right? I don't know.
I always wore the disposables because they were... But then it's like, now you have, like, the environmental people coming. Don't use disposable. Use the washable. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I have three washable ones. And they were dirty. And now they're dirty. And I've... What does that mean? Should I keep wearing them?
Right.
Like, is the cleanliness around them that I think was the problem, not, like, the actual physical...
Well, they do accumulate bacteria when you wear them for too long.
Or you see people,
then,
like, touching their mask face all the time and then touching everything and then touching... Like, the logistics around the mask didn't make any sense.
Sure.
I liked one thing about the masks, and it was the ability to remain anonymous because there's cameras everywhere. So it was, like, a way to hide in plain sight almost, if you will. Yeah.
Wow. What are you doing that you want to be anonymous?
I used to work for an entity that is very, I used to work for Big Brother. We'll just go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, how mysterious, Producer Julian. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was just going to say I can relate to having family members in the medical field because both my parents are pharmacists and then my grandmother was a nurse. So they, like my parents being pharmacists, were heavily involved in, I mean, they didn't create the vaccine, but they were, you know, part of Big Pharma and, you know, getting all the information and part of mass producing and all of that. So, like, they were, like, my whole life has always been, like, very, like, pro-vaccine, pro-medicine, all of this, which I'm not saying any of that is necessarily bad. But they had, like, I think they're, you know, you get stuck in that mindset.
Sure.
And so they were, like, very much, you know, just pro-vaccine, pro-mask, all of that without even questioning it, just because that was, you know, that's what they were taught. And, you know, they're so ingrained in that field. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think sometimes outside of that.
Well, and we're going to dig into here in about a minute after our break. We're going to dig into all the vaccine related things. What I will say, good or bad, regardless of who is right in that.
Mm-hmm.
The harm it did in regards to undermining everyone's trust in experts, quote unquote experts, be they medical experts or our politicians or whatever, I think is one of the worst things that came from the fallout of it. I mean, I was always trying to take the nice middle road in some of these conspiracy things, and then all of them were proved right. So we're going to pick up here in a minute after a quick break with getting into the COVID vaccine and some of that stuff. Does that sound good, Producer Julian?
I like it, so stick around. Leave a comment down below.
Make sure you like, subscribe, smash that other button. I don't know how this works. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, A Pressure of the Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're still rocking and rolling, talking about really uncontroversial things like the COVID vaccine here today. It's going to be a good show.
Second half, that intro. You nailed it. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, way to go. Comment down below what you think you did on that intro. We are trying really hard here to grow, and our most recent video that blew up, there was a lot of comments, a lot of likes, so just help us.
What was that video?
That was Pierce's conversion story, which we are going to link down in the show notes below. I share it, send it to all my Protestant friends.
I was going
to
say, it also had the word Protestants and wrong in it or something.
The title is literally from Protestant to Catholic, how Pierce learned to love Mary.
That's pretty hot right now. I tell you this, I'm going to give a shout out to our Protestant brothers and sisters. not in a kind way, but I've really appreciated the amount of kind of like anti-Catholic going after us that I've seen online recently. And here's what I mean by that. Going back to last episode, talking about don't be hot or cold, right? I prefer my Protestants to be like, no, I'm a hardcore Reformed Calvinist, whatever. The Catholic Church, whore Babylon, all these things. We don't like them, right? I prefer that to the, oh, we're all the same. Let's get along. Like, we're over at Brownsbridge Church, right? With our hands up in the air. That's lame. That's boring, right? Yeah. Let's at least hash out and kind of find the points of contention and fight about them.
Yeah, it gives us something to talk about.
And it's really convenient because we're right about all those things. So that's fun to, like, get to eventually.
That wasn't a shout-out. That was a shout-at.
Right, yeah. I like that. No, but God bless them. God bless the Protestants who are out there really, really going after us. You should check out the Tiber. Swim across it. It's beautiful this time of year. We got Katie. Drew's gone. We don't even know what happened to Drew.
He vanished.
He disappeared during the break, and we got Katie in here. So before we get rolling, she's going to give us her COVID fun fact. Then we're going to hit the ground running.
Well, I don't know how fun this fact is, but it is true. This was shortly before the shutdown, but COVID was still technically happening in the world.
Sure.
On the topic of Protestants, I actually left the Catholic faith for 2 weeks right before the shutdown.
Oh, interesting. Why?
There were a lot of reasons that contributed to it. Part of it was not having community and not having people to connect with. All of that has changed, thank the Lord. Praise but I did. I left the church, and there's a picture of me getting baptized by a Mormon missionary.
Wait, you went to a Mormon church?
Yeah.
For 2 weeks?
For 2 weeks, and then for a month into the shutdown. So I was not Catholic, and then literally
the cattle
I had
baptismal
to...
baptismal font with a cow on it?
What's that?
The baptismal font with a cow on it. Did you get baptized in a font with a cow on it? The only time I've ever seen a Mormon baptismal font had a cow on it. I was told that was normal.
I've never seen that. It was actually... They have baptismals in their closets, in their ward. So literally, it was behind a closet. I thought it was a supply closet, and it was locked the entire time, and it had a whole big little...
There was no cow involved, is what you're telling me.
No cows. But, yeah.
Shameless plug for our listeners out there. Katie has an incredible story where she converts and talks about falling in love with the Eucharist. So we're going to put it down in the show notes below. Go ahead and listen to it. Put a comment on there. Share it with your friends. If you are not Catholic yet and you cannot become Catholic after listening to that, well, you weren't listening and you need to go and listen again. Because I can assure you that will bring you to the faith.
While we're doing shameless plugs, there's a great book called From the Susquehanna to the Tiber about a Mormon converting to Catholicism.
I pray for our show notes person on how to spell that.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that, but I bet the show notes Benny, whether he's there or not, will be able to.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Okay, that's super. But get us back, because you're here. This is not right. This is not a Mormon show.
Exactly. Well, eventually, and really thankfully, we had one more Mass and one more weekend of confessions, I think maybe a week before the shutdown, and that's when I came to my senses and said, you know what, this was a mistake. I need to be Catholic. I need the Eucharist. I need, you know, Mass. I need a confession. I need all the sacraments. So I literally drove, you know, to the nearest Catholic church, and I did not know what they were going to say. I was expecting them to say, well, you can't really come back now because, you know, you left the church. But thankfully, I confessed that I left the church for 2 weeks, didn't miss 2 weeks of Mass.
I don't know why I think 2 weeks is funny. That's a funny amount of time to be like, I apostatized for 14 days, and now I'm back. Sorry.
Well, literally, that's what the priest said. He was just like, well, first of all, welcome back and welcome home.
Mm. Oh, good. That's glad you got a good priest. Yeah.
I'm just thinking is a movie named 14 Days of Mormon.
14 oh, Days wow. of Mormon.
Well, then there should be, Xander. There really should be. You're going to direct it, right, man?
Oh, of course.
That's brilliant. Wild. That's good.
And now we know why we shut down when we did, because we were just waiting on Katie to come back to the church.
It sounds like God orchestrated COVID just for you.
Amen. Amen. I'll take it.
So to gently change gears and sort of slowly change our track over here, Xander, what are your thoughts on the COVID vaccine?
I don't really much like it. Not a big fan. I never took it myself, and for that matter, I'm never going to take any mRNA vaccine. But it's dangerous experimental medicine. Thus, I'm not exactly, you know, the greatest fan of it in the entire world. But the most egregious thing about it is how it was thrust with coercion upon the entire population in one of the most crazy usurpations of human rights that has occurred in the entire history of Western civilization.
Okay, so that's a fairly subtle take that you have.
I like to, like, you know, walk the middle ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, really straddle that fence.
Yeah, I will say, and I actually want you to define an mRNA vaccine here in a minute, but I can't speak to it from a medical perspective. I can tell you things I've heard and people who I think are smarter than me who said X and people who said not X, right? And all of these things. My big concern from the very beginning was this massive forcible push on to me. And as a pretty choleric guy who's very stubborn, if Joe Biden had come out and said, hey, don't get this vaccine, guys. You shouldn't do it. We're not going to let you do it. There's like a 60% chance I would have been looking up where to get a street drug of the mRNA vaccine for COVID, just on principle. Be like, you can't tell what to do, nerd. I don't have to not get that if I don't want you. But my biggest issue did come down to this. Why are you so vehement that I must receive this vaccine and inject? And I want to make this really, really clear. To anybody who's listening, we are not going to have this segment or this half of the show turn into a, you're a bad person if you did this. Yeah. I know a lot of people, I have a very dear friend of mine, family member, who took the vaccine as a military man. And he said, I don't know, I don't feel good about this, but I feel like this is a cross I have to bear for my family. I got to keep the groceries coming in. I'm going to get fired if I don't. That was a decision he made, right? And I understand it regardless of whether or not I agree with it. So I want to throw that out there.
And it was unprecedented, and no one saw this coming. Mm-hmm. It just all of a sudden hit us like a Mack truck. So I, like you said, no one who took the vaccine who wasn't being a prick about it,
right.
And being sanctimonious. If you had to take the vaccine because of work, you shouldn't have people judge you for that. It's that's just unfortunately the way that it turned out. But the fact that people were put in that position is absolutely just ridiculous, and it goes against all of the things that we stand for in the West. And frankly, I think that I have long rambling thoughts on that, which I will not unpack because they are long and rambling.
Can you speak a little bit to the mRNA vaccine? You said that in particular was something you would never take.
So that's something that, now I'm also not a doctor, and I'm also by no means an expert on this, but that is. Is that still rolling?
Oh, you know, you're good.
Yeah. So that's a type of mRNA vaccines have not been around for very long. The first patents for them, I think, were filed in the late 2010s. But they are a type of vaccine that is different from previous forms of vaccines. Like, they're not a dead version of the virus, anything like that. It's not something that teaches your immune system how to tussle with the illness by presenting a milder version of it. Instead, there is something that injects essentially foreign mRNA into the cell, into your cells, that it goes into the coding of your cells, basically, and teaches the cell how to produce a type of protein that it otherwise would not produce naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches your body, in effect, to produce an artificial chemical or artificial substance.
Sure.
And they are, I don't have the statistics on file in here at the present moment, but they are, none of them have ever been FDA approved.
Okay.
Even the ones that are currently rolled out right now were included by emergency use authorization until they could get stuck onto the normal what do you call it, like regimen of vaccines.
Sure, okay.
So it was super shady how they just got pushed out. What was I saying? Yes. Basically, they're this experimental technology that is dangerous, has never been approved by the FDA, is essentially just kind of something that pharmacologists and scientists were trying to find some kind of avenue by which they could push this out into the general population, had no success because it's a radical technology. And then COVID comes along, and this is finally their opportunity to pull the right levers, grease the right palms, and then they're able to actually make some money off of this random thing they've had on a shelf for years.
Interesting. Okay.
That's so much more articulate and more intelligent than literally most people with PhDs. I'm just shouting that out to you, Xander, literally.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
Also, there's a caveat that you have to, if you're listening to me blather, you have to go and actually verify that I'm not completely talking out of my rear end, because I don't have any degree in any of the necessary fields that would make me an expert on this, and also I have this terrible geriatric habit of just melding and melting and combining data in my head and stuff I've heard until
well, it sounded great.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can translate just slightly and put it into a little bit of layman's terms. It sounds like the mRNA vaccine actually turns your cells or turns a person into a genetically modified organism.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Can anybody speak to the whole issue of aborted fetal cells in the development of the vaccine? That's something I heard a lot about. And once again, I don't know a whole lot of...
Sorry, I didn't mean
to... No, please, by all means.
I've talked to the people in my family who have experience with this. It was about the chickenpox vaccine, because in the chickenpox vaccine, it's made with aborted fetal cells. Their take on it, what I grew up hearing, was that it is morally permissible for Catholics to take the vaccine because the cells were already there to begin with. Like, my family member's take on it, I believe, is might as well use it for good.
Sure. Okay.
So that was kind of the opinion I was taught growing up. I do think, you know, there's a little bit of nuance there. I know the COVID vaccine, I forget which one, I mean, it might have been Pfizer, mm-hmm. where they were at least experimenting on aborted fetal cells in the process of making the vaccine. That, I remember, I had a little bit of an issue with. It just didn't feel right. I don't know, because I was like, that's still a child, and you're using it for something. I don't know. It just felt gross to me.
No kidding. Gosh.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, it's not that the aborted fetal cells are ever in the vaccine that the person is taking.
Right. They were developed.
Yeah. I was like, just in case anybody else there. That's part of the developmental process.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Thank you for clarifying.
Like, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell that I am not in the medical field. But yeah, I remember talking to my family about it. I think the same thing, like their opinion on it was just that's how vaccines are made.
I have, this is something I actually have. I was given this to read out loud. I thought it was super interesting. The USCCB in December of 2020 put out their guidelines regarding vaccines that were produced or benefited in some way from aborted fetal cells. This is USCCB December 2020. Quote, people using immorally produced or tested vaccines are benefiting from the evil that was done. It is not an easy choice to make. The only way this can be tolerated is if the cooperators, one, are quite removed from the evil action, two, do not share in the evil intention of the main agents, three, have sufficiently grave, proportionate reasons to cooperate, and four, protest or make their objections clearly known so that no one thinks this is an ethically unproblematic situation. So, I don't know, that was just interesting to sort of give you the context, right? I guess if you were in a scenario where the only thing that was going to save you from X, Y, or Z horrible disease was be it a vaccine or a shot or whatever it is that was made and requires remote, what they would call remote cooperation with evil, it would be morally permissible as long as you said, I wish it didn't happen this way. I do not support that this happened this way. That being said, and that sowed a lot of confusion too, right? That's a lot of confusion in the church. I think it sowed even more confusion because a couple of months later, Pope Francis did come out and say that, quote, getting vaccinated is an act of love. And that causes some issues. So I don't know if anyone has any dissenting opinions. I would love to hear it. Once again, I'm not trying to make this a demonization of vaccines are bad. You're a terrible person if you got vaccinated. That is not how I feel.
Well, you know, John Henry, it's interesting that you mentioned Pope Francis because I went through a phase, Xander, where I was very anti-vax because, you know, I was very, you know, it wasn't FDA approved. It was only like researched and it was, you know, they didn't work all the test subjects out and this and that. So I really, for the first, I would say, almost 2 years of the pandemic, I didn't get vaccinated until the beginning of 2022. And I thought that was almost very, I don't know how to describe it. It was just unsettling, John Henry, when I heard the Pope say what you just said, that it right. was an act of love to get vaccinated. I almost wanted to think, Xander, it's like, why is that your business to tell us that as exactly our Holy Father? Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, like, you know what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so weird, you know, why is that? I mean,
it opened up a wonderful opportunity for me, and I still use this as an example when talking to kids in my class, to talk about the difference between the Pope speaking infallibly and the Pope sharing an opinion.
Yes. Right,
about things.
Yes.
Because once again, I'm going to give the Pope all the credit I can in this situation, right? Which
right.
is to say, what he meant was,
right.
if these assuming these vaccines do what they tell you that they're going to do, which they did not, right? But assuming they do, then you getting vaccinated, you're doing it for the sake of protecting your neighbor, protecting the immunocompromised and the elderly, etc., right? That's sort of my steel man best way that I can view what the Pope is saying. But it sows nothing but incredible confusion in a church that was already reeling at this time period, right?
Yeah.
And I think English is not the Pope's first language.
Right.
I think
isn't.
That.
And good for him. I don't think it's his second either. Like he's,
right.
It's
yeah.
cool.
So
he speaks way better than I speak Italian or Spanish.
That can sometimes cause translation issues. I honestly do believe that half the time the Pope means to say one thing, but it comes out another way just simply because of the language barrier. Or, you know, the fact that English is not his first language.
I made the mistake of, I was peer pressured in, right? I'm a grown man, but I was peer pressured in by my peers to get a Twitter. You're part of the reason I did this. I felt peer pressure from you. Never should have done this. I got it. I actually reactivated a very old one that I had. I won't say what it is because I don't want anyone following me. I don't want anyone to know that I have it. I don't tweet anything on it. I just follow stuff. And I made the mistake of following the Pope, right? Now, he never says anything. And so it's just these innocuous, nice little fortune cookie kind of things. Like, love each other. Don't kick poor people. Like, you're good. Like, totally, we all agree. That's right. I won't do those things. But now I see the at Pontifex thing. And going back to what you're saying, you have a substantial percentage of the church, at least the terminally online version of the church, right, who treats the Pope, who... I'm not making any bones about this. The Pope is the Pope. You can disagree with the Pope, right, about certain things. We are Catholics. The Pope is the Pope, right? Who treat every word that drips from his lips as if the devil is using him as a puppet to say all of those words.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scandalized. We're like, oh, calm down. Like, I wish you'd be quiet on airplanes to reporters, too, but chill. And anyway, never was that made more clear to me than during the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Still comes up. I won't say the names of some Catholic pseudo-celebrity, quote-unquote, influencers, but it's rough. You look like you're itching to say something.
I can say so. If you are watching on YouTube or on the podcast, I do have my Twitter link down below. It's, if you want to follow producer Julian's Twitter, I do share some things. And I know myself and the religious hippie Amber Rose, she just started following me. So we've been.
She's cool.
Yeah, she is cool. So she's been liking some of the things that I've been putting out there, just a little. Rite of passage.
Thanks, producer Julian.
Producer Julian's most of the social media is actually run by my wife. It is a persona that I take on, but it's fun. I like social media
thanks
a little
for
bit.
Burning the midnight oil, producer Julian.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of the fight against Protestants and atheists because they are there are some atheists on social media that are very boisterous, and it can be fun to maybe debate and potentially convert somebody that's watching.
Well, that was Pierce's whole story, too. It went through heavily, right? A big part of his conversion started as him trying to convert Catholics to Calvinism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they said, yeah, no, and it got him really frustrated until finally he said, I think I might be interested in this Catholic thing. And then a priest who was there the whole time was like, hi, I'm Father so-and-so. I'd love to talk to you more about this. This is absolutely a tool.
Yep, we'll link it down in the show notes below if you want to see Pierce's conversion story. We've now referenced, I think, three here. Two. Because Katie's, mine, and Pierce's, yeah. But there's been, actually, I think most of our conversion stories going back to COVID have all happened during COVID.
That's a great
point. Yeah, I think Tessa's, if you go and watch Tessa's as well.
Okay, so why is that? We've talked about a lot of the negatives, right? But you even said, like, what about COVID? Was it isolation? Was it you were bored out of your mind with nothing else to do? How did COVID become sort of an instrument that eventually led you back to Christ?
Well, personally for me, the entire
world around me suddenly turned on a... at that point, it was 2020. We had already had several years of annoying, acrimonious political discourse in our country since Trump had been elected.
That's good thing that's all over now. Oh, we never have to worry about that again.
But after during 2020, that's when it suddenly exploded into this cloud piven nightmare of just endless, every form of tribalism you can think of, every form of social division you can think of, and just this flow, this geyser of hate that was just erupting from the hearts of so many people I knew personally.
I was going to say, in every direction.
Yeah, they were perfectly normal people, and then all of a sudden, it's like they've just gone insane. It's like this mad cow disease spread through the television or something. I kind of realized it was a very slow and very slow process. I realized that there was something missing in my own heart, and there was something missing in all these people's hearts. It's like if you don't take a vitamin, it's not dramatic, but over time you start to feel like if you don't take vitamin D, for example, it's not dramatic, but over time you start to show symptoms of vitamin D deficiency. Mm-hmm. Well, our culture has had a God deficiency for a very long time. It's gotten very pronounced since in the current epoch of history we're living in since 1945. I think it reached its peak with probably Francis Fukuyama's end of history kind of paradigm, where now the Soviet Union's collapsed, we're all just going to get along now, right. and do, I guess, like Coca-Cola ads where very diverse people hold hands and sing. That was just like going to be the rest of all human history now. And of course, that's not how the world actually works. And that has gradually turned rancid, and people have forgotten that you actually need a spiritual underpinning in your life. You can't just lead this mechanistic consumerist and hedonistic existence. That's like a whole bunch of stuff to unpack. But that was my train of thought was that eventually led me to Christ around mid-2022. Because there was this deficiency of moral underpinning with all these people, and they deferred to the arbitrary authority of people in positions of power. They deferred to the CDC, or they deferred to the president, or they deferred to anybody but a metaphysical truth, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, and we might have discussed this before on air, but producer Julian and I, right? We're millennials, right in the middle of the pack of millennials, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yep.
You late 80s?
Late 80s.
Yeah,
yep,
me too.
Yep. Just made it in.
And I was 89. 5 months left of the 80s. I was there. It was great. Fingerless gloves and boom boxes. It was great.
Drinking from garden hoses.
I remember all of it. Oh, yeah. But I think the biggest sin of our generation, going back to something that Zander said earlier, was this just apathy. Oh my gosh, it was everything. It was there was nothing to care about, right? We grew up in the 90s and the early 2000s before 9/11, right? When the world was just America won everything. It was all ours. Everything was fine. History was over, right? It's just time to hang out and feel good forever. And I really do believe that COVID, right, was that crossroads for a lot of people. And then Gen Z that has grown up in whatever the heck that has been, right, for such a long time. And I feel like it was this put up or shut up kind of time. And a lot of them decided to shut up and not put up. And a lot of them went in wrong directions, like we said, first half. But I don't know. Any other thoughts on that before we close up?
Yeah, I actually have one quick thought, John Henry. I wanted to speak very, very briefly on talking about the young adult perspective of the COVID shutdown. Not just the isolation, but just COVID as a whole. Because I had just found my way back into Catholic community, like literally around this time, you know, late February, early March is when I came back to the church, and then everything shut down. And it was amazing. It was almost like a revitalization for me because I felt, you know, visceral feeling to want to pray more during that time. You know, I'm making my way into, at the time, it was Northwest Catholic Young Adult Ministry. Now it's Abide Catholic Young Adult Ministry, which I help lead. And we you could literally come on to a Zoom call and someone would be leading Liturgy of the Hour. or someone would be leading night prayer, or someone would be leading rosary, or Divine Mercy Chapel at 3 p.m., or Magnificat at noon. You know, literally, I didn't know there was such a thing as, like, organized prayer at certain hours. So, if anything, the sacramental benefit of not even having the sacrament of the Eucharist, you know, was still present during the shutdown, and there was still Catholic community for young adults like me at the time. So
that is a very ray of sunshine way to finish the episode. Yes. I like that. We'll end on a high note. That's all the time we have for today. Guys, thanks so much for coming. Guys at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.